But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But you can always stay up to date if you're away from the radio. You can stream anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. You can even listen on demand. Free to download, free to listen. Go check out the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program. He's the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis era. Should say area.
I have era on the mind.
Also the host of Right of the Right Trivia, which returns for the first time in 2025 tomorrow morning on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10:30. Co-host of 901 Wrestling, the website CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, Jeffrey. Great to be back. A new year. Very excited. If you could only pick one, Jeffrey, are you grabbing the bread or the milk? The bread or the milk? Which one?
Okay, I think now I have to say milk as the father of a 17-month-old that just absolutely houses whole milk.
Oh, she's loving the whole milk.
Oh, girl just crushes it. She's got the belly to show.
Gotta have it.
I think you have to say milk. For me personally, like if I'm just single, dude, probably going bread.
Yeah, although I never, bread, you can do a lot more with it.
In your single days, so the like, let's set aside being married with a family when you have responsibilities. In your single days, would you ever like prep for weather?
With the bread? I mean, you would check. Yeah, I think you'd check to see if I have stuff that I need.
Like bread and milk or whatever. Like that's kind of like a
those are the cliche items.
That's become a cliche, but like. Yesterday, so for instance, yesterday,
are you prepped? Are you ready?
Well, so my wife yesterday was like, "Hey, we need diapers and we need wipes."
And
she's also she's like, "Go to Sam's because it's even cheaper than Amazon." Free ad hashtag Sam's. She's like, "Why don't you go to Sam's, get that, and then if you want to pick up meat for steak night on Thursday, go ahead and do that." And so her suggestion was like to go and do it yesterday because it would become a madhouse, and rather than fight it on today, tomorrow.
Yeah, the closer you get.
Right.
But you're a Christmas Eve guy, so.
Right, and so.
shopping on Christmas Eve.
That went against my every fiber of my being, but then when she threw out the, you can go get the steaks, I was like, all right, well,
steak, yeah.
Sold. But like, I've never, in my single days, never.
You were never. I was a Boy Scout. I'm an Eagle Scout, so I'm a, you know, the motto.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, be prepared, right? Mm-hmm. Or be prepared. So I was often prepared, not as, you know, and I feel like. Even back then, it's the recent times, I think, is when we've really needed to be prepared because it's going to happen. Like when the city is shut down more, you want to say back in your single days, the water wasn't on where we had to boil it every time it snowed. So I do think the preparing is different, right? Yeah. My prep for this week, you're going to maybe fill a bathtub up before the storm comes. You're going to maybe...
And the most you're going to get me is
make
like,
sure you
like,
get bottled water, which was not as big of a thing.
I had that. I
or
had
fill
that
up jugs of water. There's no better water than the Memphis water, so just fill up some jugs. If you got some jugs, your water bottles, fill those up with some water. It's a different strategy these days.
If our refrigerator has a water filter, do we have to do the water boil ordinance?
Yes, I would think so. I think that...
do we?
It's not going to... yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not giving it to Josephine, but...
You're supposed to, yeah. I mean, because they don't even want you, right? You're supposed to, like...
Okay, so I guess this is where I struggle. Because we're going to, I promise...
But we're not in it yet, so everybody listening, we have okay, not... MLGW has not told us anything yet, obviously. It's not, hasn't...
I can't wait to hear from them. this is where I struggle. I think there are some things that it's patently obvious that social media and... outrage has impacted. I think in particular the amount of closures that we see oftentimes. And I understand there is some safety concern, but there was plenty of safety concern. The same safety concerns existed in 2007 that they do in 2024, and we didn't have this.
Well, I think with the water, I didn't mean the
here's,
water.
But here's where I am open to the possibility, because the boil water thing is a newer addition in the Memphian life. Agreed.
Oh well, yeah, because when you have this coming, you're like prepare for the idea you may not have power, right?
Correct. But
that makes sense. You can look out your window.
And I have always had to prepare for no power.
Right. That's something we've always prepared for. Which is like, can you prepare your brain not to watch television? Can you prepare?
No.
Right. Can you prepare to be cold? Or hot if it's Hurricane Elvis, right? But yeah, so the power thing has always been. The water, is it because it's the aging plumbing?
That's where I am. I'm like, this is my question: is this just like people online like freaking out and causing heightened sensitivity, and so everyone's like, well, they do boil water ordinances everywhere. We should do it here, or is it what you're talking about? Maybe the neglect of infrastructure, in which the pipes have gotten older, and now what used to not be a problem because of neglect, lack of money, however you want to phrase it, it has now become a problem.
Well, I'm no scientist, but I do ask science trivia questions multiple nights a week, including tonight. I'll be out there at Celtic Crossing there in Cooper Young. We also got a trivia happening at Ghost River downtown. Get out while you can and come join us. But some of it, Jeffrey, so like, you know, when it's cold, I think we're having extreme cold temperatures somewhat recently, where
right, but like
for a longer period of time, so you have to drip your water, right?
Right. So
you
my example is water, we've always done that.
We've always done that. But has the temperature been as cold for as many days? And yeah, I know you can look at stats and you can find that. But I think it's the older infrastructure with the dripping the water, which lowers the water pressure, which increases the chance of issues with the water. That's what they said.
Right.
That's
what there's a difference. I guess.
So you're not a believer.
I am truly curious.
Right, but I would. Because, I don't think
This would be the reason why I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
truly intellectually. When we had post lockdowns,
yeah,
and remember the number of power outages spiked through the roof, and for a while you kept getting a lot of, well, you know, it's the climate change, and it's like, okay, all that, but it's like. Then what we really found out was, oh, they just stopped cutting trees down. Or they stopped cutting the limbs down, and that was creating massive, massive amounts of problems. And that was what...
The trees were falling on the power lines.
And all of a sudden, we started getting that under control. Lo and behold, we still have power outages, and if you're someone out there today, God be with you.
We've had power outages already.
Correct, that's what I'm saying.
In anticipation.
Best of luck, and knock on wood, that doesn't happen to everyone. But... like to me, it was always
that was a problem that they kind of pinpointed like it was more happening because
But early there was a lot of talk about it's this, it's that. It's like no, it turned out because like I just remember thinking I was like I've lived here my whole life, I can never remember the frequency of power outages that we had had at that one point in time. So I was like, what's happening? Right. And then everyone was like, everyone kept doing well. It's the age of the infrastructure and all. It's like. Okay, it wasn't state-of-the-art in 2007. Like, it just wasn't. And so we still didn't have the frequency. Lo and behold, it's like, yeah, we stopped paying to cut the trees down. And so, like, that was a huge problem. Is the pipe situation something like that? Or is it just because, truly, like, they've gotten older, there's not been the money, like, we have plenty of problems, that money has to go, like, we get it. Like, you have to make choices where the money goes.
Right.
And now... aging pipes has because this is a newer addition to our prepared chart, if you will.
Right. You have to prepare for the idea you're not going to have water and electricity or access to get more food than what you've already got in your house. So it could be an interesting weekend. We talked about it before the show. Like it feels like something's going to happen on Friday. So you've got today, you've got most of tomorrow. But something's going to happen on Friday. The way the meteorologists are pinpointing it, because they're just predicting such a direct hit from this storm, that even if it's not a direct hit, something's happening. The temperatures are going to be cold. Something's falling from the sky. And we know when that happens, it could end up being the city's going to be impacted. maybe completely shut down as it typically usually is when anything cold, anytime something falls from the sky and it's cold outside, the city shuts down for a minute.
And obviously, the Tigers play a home game on Saturday. That's where we're going to start with Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit, because this could impact it. So that's kind of why we bring up the weather, because to Kevin's point, I also feel like, and I have no idea if there's any truth to this, but I also feel like I spent 70% of my childhood getting told that snow was going to fall, or, you know, that snow was going to fall.
Right.
And let's be real, all we cared about was getting a snow day and getting out of school. And I feel like 70% of the time you woke up the next day and you're like, okay, we're going to school. Whereas now I do feel like the frequency of we're told we're getting winter weather, I feel like the batting average has gone through the roof. It's like, I don't know if it's 1,000%, but like I'm kind of with Kevin's point of maybe we're not going to get the 6 to 8 inches that I've seen some forecasts predict. And I think it seems like most of those were early and they've gone down to most. It seems like most like 3 to 5. It's like, I don't know if we're getting 3 to 5.
Right.
But I think we're getting something, because it feels like that every time now.
And the 3 to 5, and I feel like even if we get to 3 to 5, or even if we get 1, the city's going to be impacted almost the same type of way. So don't you kind of want the 3 to 5 so you can build a snowman? Or
no, we'll explain.
All right.
So that we'll do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Also, a few things have happened in the world of watching sports on TV. We had Netflix. We had the Netflix era debuting for the WWE on Raw on Monday night.
And they said that's a game changer. They're changing the landscape of everything.
Let me tell you what. They told us it was a game changer. Like, they told us again.
Everything has changed now.
And again and again. I actually do think it's
I'm interested in what you think about that.
So we'll talk about that. Also, there are a few other sports on TV things that I want to discuss, including how ESPN is now starting to partner with a lot of other streamers, almost like maybe a bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to see a little bit of that. Few other things from the world of sports on TV. We'll get into the list. The American has made a decision about naming a coach of the year for basketball. It's a pretty cool decision, so we'll discuss that and more. CJ Hurt going to join us at 3:30 like he does each and every Wednesday. We'll congratulate him on having a 2024 that began by beating Alabama and ended with him beating Alabama, his Michigan Wolverines. Talk that and Grizzlies with him. Tell your story and get out of here. But let's fire it up. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, as you mentioned, to what degree, we don't know, but there's a good chance weather will impact Saturday early afternoon's game in which the Tigers are hosting ECU. I throw this to you. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The University of Memphis should not encourage fans to stay home like they did last year for the USF game. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
Ooh, that's a tough one. So this weekend also happens to be the Cerrito Trivia Tournament of Champions, the annual event. Yeah, the annual event. We give away $1,000 cash to the winning team. It's happening. It's supposed to happen this Saturday. We've already got a date ready to go if we have to reschedule. Of course, it's looking like it might need to be rescheduled. And thinking about this and answering questions about that Tournament of Champions and from different teams and stuff this week, like it really almost everything gets shut down. When things start getting shut down, right? The dominoes start going. People are already, some of the venues that I work with and stuff are like wanting to, you know, tomorrow night, Thursday night, they're just ready to prepare. They're ready to bunker down.
But yeah, one thing we can say post-pandemic, we are exceptionally ready to not work.
Right. It used to be like,
yeah,
come on into work. It doesn't matter.
Come on, like, even if your work's closed, we're on open. Come on down. Yeah. Everyone's like, eh.
We are still open. Yeah, it doesn't matter that schools are closed.
Really?
But that's an interesting point, because that ties into exactly what's going on here. But it always seems like these sporting events are still happening. I guess it's just too difficult if you play in a league, because you know, we went through this with the hurricane, right, in Florida. Like, do you cancel the Memphis football game? Do you move it to Orlando? What are you going to do with it?
And like, by the way, that's a sport with bye weeks.
Right. And then other days you can play, right? And, like, the game's either canceled or it doesn't happen. And so they typically, we've seen over the years, very empty FedEx Forum, whether it's a Grizzlies game or a Tiger game happening inside a very empty one. But you referenced last year, right?
It was last year.
It was the snow stormy days. And Memphis, it was which floor? It was South Florida.
Florida.
It was conference.
And I want to say it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It was a midweek.
And they, in the abundance of caution, they advised everyone. They did their civic duty. It said your life, you know, matters more than supporting your Tiger. They didn't say it in that way, but they said don't come to the game. We're gonna have to play it because we got to play it. But you shouldn't come because
it was a Thursday.
It's too dangerous out there.
It was Thursday. It was January 18th. So I don't remember if that was pre-MLK or post-MLK. I want to say last year MLK was like the 21st, like 22nd.
That was a whole snowy weekend. Like.
Correct.
Yeah. And so the Grizzlies went ahead and played on MLK with a probably.
It was a sparse crowd, but there were a lot of sparse crowds last year. Even when the weather was good.
About this point, yeah.
Yeah.
We knew almost exactly where we were at for the Grizzlies. But, so should they advise or not? Like, and you bring it up, like post-COVID, people were very quickly not going to work. And also, that's one way to look at it. I also just feel like people have been more sympathetic, safety conscious, if you will, since COVID, right? Like, where they like figure out people's safety matters. And I don't know if that's slipping away and the further we get away from COVID, it doesn't matter as much. But I think that goes into the decision last year it's the COVID mind. I don't think before COVID there would have been as much we're playing this game, but stay home philosophy. I think everybody is at least presenting the fact safety first, a big emphasis on the company line from different organizations, whether it's they're doing it for a political reason or if they're doing it for a legitimate reason.
Right.
I feel like there is like they're encouraging people to be safe. And we've done that since COVID in such a way. And we might be getting away from it, right? I mean, we're finding out that, you know, we're getting further away from fact checking. Other things are changing that were important at that time.
Okay, so I'm going to buy this.
So you're buying that they should.
So here's the deal though. I want to be very clear. This is not sitting on, 30,000 feet pointing at should have done this, should have done that. I'm not being Captain Hindsight here. Because if you recall, I believe that wasn't the first day of the weather. And so when you asked earlier about would I prefer 3 to 5, if we're getting snow anyway, would you rather have the 3 to 5 inches versus the 1 to 3 or whatever? I say no, because the problem that I've always seen, because I'm the guy here that like I drive into the studio, like someone's
got to be here.
Someone's got to get the show on the road somehow, some way. And when you always get the first snowfall, it's totally fine. Like I've not had any issues on the last few snowstorms that we've had, storms in air quotes. Mm-hmm. Although we did have that one that was like,
I mean,
there was like 8 to 10. There was one that was a legitimate snow.
2021, we had a big one.
Yeah, I think there was one where my daughter was alive.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe there wasn't.
So
we've been getting snow.
Correct.
These kids don't understand.
No.
I'm telling my daughter all the time, like, you don't realize we would maybe get one thing of snow, and it would just be like a few inches. And like,
you don't understand. As someone who hates cold weather, for me, that feeling of waking up in the morning and then going and either flipping on Ron, Steve, and Karen to hear Karen list the name of schools that were closed, or sprinting to go find a TV to flip it
on
WMC to see list of schools. That when you saw your school listed, that feeling of euphoria that went through your body could only be equaled by like Christmas Day. Like that was it. Like that was as good as it got. And
absolutely. And the thing is, that's going to happen tomorrow night. Like they're going to be able to, your kids are going to be able to go to bed tomorrow night.
They don't even have to wait for it. There wasn't the idea of like going to sleep not knowing.
Mm.
And then the real thing is, on the flip side, is there was no worse feeling than seeing your school on the crawl open.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, God. And then, of course, I think our parents knew at that point, but it's like there was something about them letting us see it for ourselves, good or bad. But like that doesn't occur anymore. So the problems, though, that I've always seen in these snowstorms is it's not when it falls. It's then when people start driving on it, it gets like churned up and some of it melts, and then inevitably it freezes over again. And that is why I did not have any problem when the U of M decided to encourage people to stay at home unless they had to play it. But I am very much of this opinion. The message should be, stay safe. Do with that what you will. If that means you think that you should maybe take an extra hour, be safe getting to the game, so be it. If you take that to mean, I don't really want to get out on the roads, and you have the individual choice, I'm totally cool with that. What I do not like is we are getting into an era in which a lot of the organizational complaining is about attendance, whether it be behind the scenes, whether it be subtle, and I understand it. But my deal is I understand winter snow versus 75 degrees and sunny is not exactly the same thing. But my deal is I do not think you should push people one way or the other if you have this type of weather situation. Stay safe. Leave it up to you.
You know, breaking news right now from WREG. All of the Mid-South has been upgraded to a winter storm warning. Winter storm warning beginning 6
p.m. Thursday.
So we've
gone
Thursday.
From watch to warning.
Yeah, we are officially in the warning zone. Starting 6 p.m. tomorrow through 6 a.m. Saturday. But that's just... So
wait, hold on. We've issued a warning starting tomorrow at 6 p.m.?
I mean, coming from WREG's weather experts. But the... So for the game on Saturday, the Tigers are in this position, right, where they can – it doesn't matter. So they don't look at Selection Sunday and say, well, what was the weather the day that Memphis
Correct.
Lost to East Carolina?
Now, it also turned out USF was better than we thought.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think back, that kind of started a mini slide and really the slide that actually, like, put the season on the brink. Because
this is a team that has had very impressive wins this year.
Yep.
But also very disappointing losses at home in front of crowds.
Correct.
Yes. People were there, and they lost inferior teams. So if you're playing East Carolina on Saturday, and like Selection Sunday, they were at home to East Carolina and lost? What is that? Not what you want. So you definitely want to position yourself to win. I don't know. Is there creative other ways to get people in the building if the weather is bad? Yeah, I mean, but because the warning is over, according to News Channel 3, at 6 a.m. on Saturday. So, like, it's going to be over, but there's going to be...
The aftermath.
The aftermath, which is the worst part.
And this is where, like, I want to be fair to the school when they made that decision. I have no idea what the city was telling them. My suspicion is that the city was strongly encouraging them to tell... I'm sure what really wanted to happen is the school wanted to cancel the game. They probably got under the horn with the league, and they're like, man, you should play the game. Like, we're not going to be able to really reschedule. Like, you should play the game. And that's always kind of the bizarre thing to me. It's like, all right, you're telling your fans to be safe. By the way, we're asking our essential people to weather the storm and get here. But it's like,
right.
Like, I don't know. I just don't like this. If we're going to be in this era where we're begging fans to come, like, leave it up to them. Like, if they want to make the choice to stay at home and be safe, that is their choice. Let them make the decision.
I know it's Kids Day on Saturday, baby races, so that, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Always a high-pitched day.
Yeah, they're inviting the kids to come out for face painting, and kids don't want to be going to a Tiger basketball game if it's snow outside.
Well, they'll be well-rested. They had Friday already off.
They will be rested. They'll be rested up. Maybe they'll want to warm up. Yeah, that's for sure. But
the one that really grinds my gears, when this happened when I think I was a junior in high school. There was, like, the situation that we're talking about, like, winter weather was forecasted. It turned out to be rain.
Right. Oh, quite often, yeah.
MUS leases Hutchison their campus for, like, $1 a year. But so, there's, like, woods in between us, but our campus is, like, it's on the same piece of property, if you will. Hutchison got out at, like, noon, and we all were just ready to riot because it was firm fist down, like, hey, guys, it's rain. You drive in with rain all the time. You'll drive out with rain all the time. You're staying in school. And, like, that sent, like, I just remember you could hear, like, the halls just, like, the the blood pressure of the halls just going up. Like, they got out and we didn't. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you want to talk about an unfair double standard? Really? Why are they getting out and we're getting in? You trust us to drive, but not them? Is that, like, when kids now, like, there have been multiple times where I swear to God, kids are just getting out for rain.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there going, like, this is where we are?
The threat of weather, you know, it's being cautious, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I also feel like they don't really make up these days as much as we would have to feel
that
like
also
they would
feels, be making. Okay, I guess this is the other thing. I understand the caution and, well, one life is too many lives. Okay, we all fundamentally agree on that. We're not asking kids to go and run through the middle of a tornado. But, like, there is a life lesson of, like, hey, sometimes it's a little hard to get to work. Like, to me, it's like...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Some people have to get to work. Correct. Especially when you don't want to.
And, no, that because there's essential jobs out there. But for your instance with the University of Memphis, they're gonna have the game more than likely against East Carolina. The question is, do they encourage fans to stay home? And I would say, am I selling that they should tell them to stay home? I don't want them to stay. I don't think they should say that. I do.
Yeah, you're buying it
because, like, if you're Kroger, you're gonna be open, but you're not gonna tell people stay home. Don't come to Kroger.
Yeah, like if anything, they do, like, they'll put out the message of, like, low inventory on water and bread.
Yeah.
But, like, no one sits there and goes, do not. Like, that is, I think.
A restaurant that's open.
I think this is a funny one because I remember, because you mentioned this with you being in your business, which is oftentimes on bars and whatnot. Bars pre-closing is a new phenomenon.
Right.
Like, that used to be the whole joke is, like, everything was closed, but the bar would be open.
You know, walk there. And, I mean, last year we had trivia on during that snow January days. And people, you know, because especially if it's a walking distance bar to a neighborhood.
Sure.
It plays an important role in a snowstorm.
Some have said Applebee's is the neighborhood bar and grill. Okay. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Jaren Jackson Jr. is underappreciated by Grizzlies fans. So I think it's fair to say he's underappreciated nationally.
100%.
Like that seems to be obvious.
100%, yeah.
But I'm saying specifically by Grizzlies fans, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
That's a tough one. I feel like, and if you just asked me to a year ago, you know, probably when there's no Ja at all during the entire season, I would say no for sure, right? But then even when he's playing, Ja is still the conversation. Even if Ja's not playing, Ja is still a big important part. I don't know if that makes him underappreciated, except like he's got. You know, he's never going to be appreciated probably on that level. I mean, we're used to having you can spread your appreciation around. So I don't know, blaming it on the fact that Ja's on the team. But, you know, the core four was appreciated equally, huh? What do you think? Well, Mike Conley, Z-Bo, Tony, and Mark, they were all appreciated, right?
Yes, but there were levels. Here's why I'm buying.
I'm saying you're saying underappreciated. I thought they were all appreciated on the level that they should have been appreciated on. When it was those four back in the day.
I think collectively, yes.
As a unit, you think?
The reason why I'm buying it is, if we were talking about in comparison to Ja Morant, I'm not going to sit here and be like in the end.
Well, he's not going to be
right,
on that
like
level,
John Morant,
but is he properly appreciated?
But this is kind of what drives me insane, and I don't want this to come across as anti-Desmond Bane, but it's almost like I'm pretty sure if you poll the fan base, Dez rates higher than Jaren. And Jaren, to me, is unquestionably the better player.
Yeah.
Like, when we think back to, I don't know, there were a couple of summers ago when we kept doing fake trades with Connor. And everyone was, I can't remember if this was a Mikal Bridges trade or whatnot. The idea was you were going to have to either include Dez or Jaren. And everyone was like, no Dez. You can't, Dez is no touch. No touch. And it's like, I understand we have been so starved for true shooters, and true shooters in the sense that can play both ends of the floor. I do understand that appreciation for Desmond Bane, but I also think we outweigh it with, we as a city collectively think bigs should only get points and rebounds. And because Jaren is not an elite rebounder, this was a problem that Mark suffered from, the problem that Powell suffered from. All three are phenomenal players. Jaren is more impactful to the Grizzlies than Desmond Bane is. And I think that Des would still be higher on the popularity. And that's where I go. I think he's underappreciated.
I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it. It's like popularity versus, I do feel like, if you want to talk about the appreciation, if Grizzlies fans are going to rank the best Grizzlies players, Jaren's right there after Ja. If they're going to rank, who's would you least likely to trade? Do you not think Jaren Jackson Jr. is right next to Ja on that list? Like, seems to be appreciated as the second best player on the team.
I think it's also fair to say,
universally considered that.
From an organizational standpoint, I think all three are on the same level. Like, they're all three untouchable. Beyond that, I think that's when everyone is up for grabs.
But don't you think Bane better or not, they do realize that Jaren Jackson Jr. is the
better player. When we did all those trades, and again, it was 2 summers ago versus this summer, but I'm telling you, I still think it would be the same. There are more people that would say Desmond Bane is untouchable than Jaren. Now, this is the other thing that I would point out. In the last... So Jaren, so far, they've played 38 games this year. He played 35. Played 66 last year. They basically gave him the rest of the season off once he hit 65. Dez, 42 last year, 58 prior, 76 in the first year as a full starter. Jaren, 35 of 38 this year, 66 of, like, honestly, it was like 66 of 68 last year. 63 the year prior, and that was starting the year with an injury, 78 the year prior. Jaren's on the floor more.
Yeah.
Like, and that is kind of the other thing that we talk about with this team is, if injuries are always going to be a story with these Grizzlies, like, Jaren also deserves some respect for the guy's been on the floor.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you want to talk about, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but is he underappreciated? I'm gonna sell that right now. I'm selling it. I think these kind of go in waves. It depends on where we're at. I think they do appreciate it. I think there's a lot of passion out there about his all-star voting with these fans. Frustration there, knowing that he deserves it. It's just in these times when you got this superstar player on the team, but also Bane. I know Bane's your guy you're comparing him to.
And I love Dez just like everybody else. But I think Dez gets overvalued slightly, and I think Jaren is undervalued to even a bigger degree.
We have not been able to really see the last season was such a take a knee. There was no play. Like, a lot of this stuff really comes into focus when the playoffs are going on, right?
Yes.
And really see how appreciated and valued he is on the team when it comes around to that.
And I know, like, there's obviously the other frustration with Jaren is that he can make frustrating plays in which he can have, like, an offensive possession that doesn't go his way, turns around, makes a silly foul. And, like, I understand there's some frustration in that. I still think most of the frustration comes from he's 7 feet tall and he's not the best rebounder on the team. And I just think that what they ask him to do defensively so greatly outweighs whether or not he's pulling down cheater rebounds. I just don't care.
Right.
All right. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The Pop-Tarts Bowl should be a model for a bowl in the current era of bowl season.
Ooh, I would quickly buy that, yes. I am not as, you know, I'm not as big a fan of Pop-Tarts as I am the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I love the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I don't know. I might like them both equally.
I was
a Pop-Tarts guy.
What they did, of course, we're back on the air this week, and the bowl season has been devalued. I mean, I think there's no debating that because of the playoffs. Those are the most important college
football games. I do agree with your devalue. I also would like to say this. I think, quietly, bowl season might have had, like, a renaissance this year.
Well, they were the games
were
great.
Higher level of watchability, and also the numbers bared it out. The TV numbers went up. And I think a huge part of that is, it's what I've always gone back to. There can be too much discussion of ratings, and I probably, it can also fall into that trap, but it's also something that people constantly talk about, and I have a pretty good perspective of, like, putting it into context, so I try to at least tell people, like, what it means. What I do think matters with ratings is, if you find yourself going, I kind of want to watch the game, and you see, oh, the number's been up, that lets you know you weren't alone. and that there is a increase in attention.
It could it be, and this is not something I've heard many people talk about, but that the playoffs, and you said I was very intrigued by a lot more of these games, but because of the playoffs and the chase for those seeds, and that you're more aware, more invested in some of these other teams that didn't make it, and has added storylines to some of these other games, like Alabama, Michigan. What meant a lot in a lot of different ways when otherwise it wouldn't. Is it just because Alabama has fallen down and you want to see how that game goes? But as far as the actual games themselves, the Pop-Tarts Bowl game itself, like you were interested in who was playing in these games because you were maybe paying attention to more than just the top and your favorite ones or the teams from your conference.
So I think there are a few things at play. Number one, I think where I would start primarily is that collectives have gotten wiser about when they sign kids. They now have written into the, you're going to, if healthy, you play in the bowl game. And yeah. So we had more, like in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I get it. He only played for a half. Cam Ward showed up in the first half and he lit it up. So we had more of the guys, you had more teams. It's really hard to trick us. Like, we know, right. We yeah. know, like, when a game matters. You can see if teams are playing
100%,
hard.
100%, yeah.
And I felt like there was a significant increase in teams taking these games seriously. Not all of them, but a significant increase of teams taking them seriously.
I mean, I'm a wrestling guy, and that's why I go to storyline, but also I go to, like, these bowl games, they just didn't matter in a way that, like, if you were watching a random wrestling episode where just guys were just wrestling. There was no heat between the guys. There yeah. was nothing at the stake. There was no belt on the line. There was no shot at a belt. There was no, like, you didn't feel like the match meant anything.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these bowl games ended up being. And the Pop-Tarts Bowl, what they were able to do is, like, this, we joke, and it's been a joke for decades on the sponsorship of bowl games, like their names change and there's new sponsors that come in, and it's become a joke. But like Pop-Tarts, they leaned into this deal that they've got. What was the bowl before? What was it called before?
So it has been everything. It was originally the second Orlando bowl game. So I remember it as the Champs Sports Bowl.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
I think historically it would date back to the Tangerine Bowl.
Okay. All right. Well,
so it was always Orlando's second bowl game.
And
it also had some years where they stopped, but I remember it like it. Mark covered maybe one of the worst bowl games of all time back when people still played in bowl games. It was like Rutgers and Virginia Tech that like went to overtime at 3-3. That was this bowl game.
But now we're talking about the Strawberry Pop-Tart coming back to life. You're following this storyline at the game. Like,
listen, I don't want to be a one-upper, but I thought it was the...
Okay, you can one-up. Which one was
cinnamon,
it?
Cinnamon. Here's the reason why I know that.
One of them...
I don't understand...
Got cooked last.
I don't understand the dialogue about all these other, like, s'mores, cinnamon... Right,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Strawberry Pop-Tarts the goat. I don't understand... And take it from someone who has eaten every Pop-Tart known to man. Strawberry Pop-Tarts are still a goat. Like, this idea that there are... But it was... Because it was... They picked...
One of them came
Matt
back.
Matt Campbell. Yeah. He did come back to life. That was... I think that was it. I think the strawberry Pop-Tart was resurrected.
From last year, because he
correct.
Got cooked. So what they happen is the strawberry mascot gets in the toaster, and then pops out of the toaster, and then the winning team gets to eat the Pop-Tart.
They send him into... Like, it's honestly, it's the opposite of pardoning the Thanksgiving turkey.
It's the opposite.
They
exactly. Exactly what it is, yes.
They send the Pop-Tart mascot to go into the giant toaster, and he comes out as in an edible form.
And there's like a storyline going on. Which one's it going to be? You've got the reveal of the trophy, and the way that Pop-Tarts is able to put their brand, they've got the sprinkles they put around the field, right?
Yes.
On the turf. There was so much they integrated their brand into this, and you felt like you were not just watching another game. It felt like you were watching the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And so I am obsessed with watching. I was watching clips on social, catching, watching it. Anywhere I could see anything about the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I want to know what's going on. They dumped miniature Pop-Tarts on the winner. Like, this has become, do you like this, Jeffrey, or do you not like the evolution of Gatorade? It's been a long time since people get a Gatorade bath. Like, you're dumping water or Gatorade, or now you've got, we have mayonnaise now, we've got Pop-Tarts. We have, what was the other one that was?
With the Idaho potatoes.
Yeah.
I think, but they did, I think.
What did they do? Mashed potatoes?
No, they did fries. Like, or they cut the potatoes up. I don't know if they actually were fried, but like, they looked like either uncooked French fries, like natural cut uncooked French fries, or cooked French fries.
I feel, and
they obviously can't just dump like a Gatorade bath of like potatoes on you. Like that'd hurt.
And so much of it just seems like, is this real life? Like, it's like something that would happen on a cartoon or something. But like, I think it's kind of cool. I think every bowl game you'd have to dump something related to the product or the city onto them. Like, why are we not doing barbecue sauce for the Liberty Bowl? Like, is this like, if we just, why not? It's Memphis. We can just dump barbecue sauce on the winning coach.
So
let's just do it.
I think there's a few things at play. Number one, we basically have three types of bowl games now. Number one, you have the bowl games that are a part of the playoff.
Right.
That are going to be very, self-righteous.
It's like, it's not even like secondary, the fact that the bowl game, it's further down. Like, I don't think the regular fan is even going to realize, like, is this which bowl? Is this the Orange Bowl? What is this?
So it's part of the playoff. So I'm separating those. And then there are two other types of bowl games. There are the bowl games that are part of ESPN events, which ESPN owns them. And basically, if you want to know whether or not that bowl game is an ESPN event, if you do not see a title sponsor, and then you have the other set, which is what we have with the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, in which they're still locally run and like they're going to be more old school in their fashion. So the AutoZone Liberty Bowl is not going to really lean into this.
I mean, it's a legacy bowl.
Correct.
But is there something different? Is Pop-Tarts Bowl the formula that they should be presented as, or is it too comical? Because I do feel are there comedy bowls where you're, like, because there's like Snoop at a bowl, right? Like, I didn't watch that one.
So the Arizona Bowl actually really leaned into this a little bit before. So the Arizona Bowl did not get swallowed up by ESPN events. And originally, they sold the title sponsorship to Barstool. And Barstool, this was when Barstool was owned by Penn and they were trying to grow to sell again. And so Barstool basically operated the bowl at a loss. And then once Penn sold Barstool back to Portnoy for $1 and all of a sudden he's running it as a private business, that like Barstool's gotten away from live events. So then they've been kind of doing the like looking for something else to do to try and drum up interest to get people to watch that wouldn't watch. In general, I am in favor of this, so I would buy this as well.
I feel like there should be, and you're right, because there's like the different like subcategories of bowl games. The ones that actually matter should not be presented as a joke. And a lot of it is like, really, if you're booking a wrestling card, right? There's like occasionally these like comedy matches, right?
Sometimes the attraction match.
You need that type of stuff. And the Pop-Tarts Bowl shows how a brand can do it, but it doesn't always have to be a brand. Like, it can. Snoop Dogg, I didn't see much of that one.
Because it was on CW.
Well, there you go. And then that, right, because it's going to be buried. But, like, I do think a celebrity involvement, that there should be this other genre of more of a...
L.A. tried to do it with the Jimmy Kimmel, the L.A. Bowl. And then this year they had Gronk as, like, they didn't name it, like, the Gronk Bowl, but, like, Gronk was the host of the L.A. Bowl. So, like, they've tried it. What I liked about this, and this game in particular, and honestly, I would even go so far as to say the two primary Orlando bowls, hat tip. Because the Cheez-It Bowl kind of did the same thing. I mean, they had the couple that got married at halftime by the giant Cheez-It.
Right.
Like, they were leaning into it.
Give me a Pop-Tart over a Cheez-It anything.
Well, like, I'm kind of in the... I know I'm supposed to like... As someone who's, like, a huge fan of processed cheddar, I know I'm supposed to like Cheez-Its. I just don't. They don't have enough, like, salt dusting. Like, Flavor Blasted Goldfish all day. Like, give me those. But what I respected about this is that in a day and age where all of these companies are so risk adverse and they're all governed by what's the stock price and they're listening to consultants that are telling them, like, don't do anything, Pop-Tarts tried to do something. And will this probably inevitably lead to some copycats that will be disingenuous and will probably be annoying? Sure. But like Duke's Mayo kind of did this before the Pop-Tarts Bowl, where like they leaned into the mayo dump and, you know, making the mayo game like a big deal. Obviously, I'm a giant, it's well on the record, I'm a giant hater of mayonnaise, but it has nothing to do with like, I appreciate what Duke mayonnaise is doing. I just find mayo disgusting.
I just, yeah, that Cheez-It, you're right. I do remember they had that big Cheez-It, like sunglass wearing Cheez-It yes. mascot. But of course, it's the Citrus Bowl, so it still is a little, I don't know if it's citrus.
Yeah, but like, I think what it shows is where I respect what Pop-Tarts did is I don't know if there's a consultant group that would have come in and told Pop-Tarts, hey, you know what would be best for your brand? A partnership with the second Orlando Bowl game.
Right. They made the most out of it.
Correct. And at first, I kind of found the parading of the trophy on the media circuit like a little annoying, like, oh, really, we're doing another one of these. But where I appreciate them is that they got behind the game, they marketed the crap out of it, and it came across, like, in the end, I left the end of the Pop-Tarts Bowl having a higher approval rating of Pop-Tarts than I did before, which, by the way, was high.
Yours was high already. Yeah, yes. Mine not as high. I mean, as a kid, when I'm eating my Pop-Tart, looking out the window to see if it was snowing.
Correct.
Yeah, it was very high. But yeah, it's definitely my brand I don't know what you would say. Brand appreciation, for sure. I got total appreciation for what Pop-Tarts was able to do. And I will not hate on Pop-Tarts. You know, I will possibly eat some more Pop-Tarts now because of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. It worked. They did it, and I feel like it made it interesting. And also, they had it. You know, the game wasn't.
And the game was good. Yeah.
So I want to see the Tigers. I'm starting to think I want to see the Tigers. I know they can't get in the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
That's my new dream. They got to conference realignment needs to be considered. Is the conference aligned with the Pop-Tarts
Bowl? And maybe this will be the new. I think if we're gonna live in this world where the playoff is going to be 12 to 16 teams, I think we need to rethink. Like, the Pop-Tarts Bowl doesn't have to be the ACC versus the Big 12.
Right.
Like, you know what I think would help bowl season? Like, give us, like, fantasy book it. Like, all right, let's take the list of teams that are playing, like, for bowls and try to match up the best ones we can.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, it would be awesome if one bowl was just the never played each other bowl.
Correct.
And you put two teams together
yes.
that have never played each other.
Correct. Sponsored by 23andMe. Find out who you are.
There you go.
Never played each other. All right, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Netflix. We had the WWE Monday Night Raw era on Netflix. Also, a couple other stories from the world of sports on TV, including maybe an easier way to watch ESPN if you're a cord cutter. We'll do all that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, coming up during the list, we'll work our way back into some NFL news, including how perhaps these wildfires are affecting the Monday night, the last game of Super Wild Card weekend. We'll get into that and a few other stories. Before we do that, we did, Kevin, have the dawn of a new era, and it was an important era, and we know it was an important era because, man, did the WWE tell us about just indeed how important it was. But we had Raw on Netflix, and I will say this about Netflix. When they have an event that they really get behind and market, I think they do about as good of a job as anyone. And then you throw in the factor of the WWE has never struggled to hype its own product. And you had, I honestly felt like,
but they have struggled for like that mainstream. They always are grasping for the mainstream, right? Here, it's 92.9 being 92.9 ESPN's official wrestling correspondent here as the host of 901 Wrestling. But I know the hype was there. WWE definitely, they're going to toot their own horn, you know, toot,
for sure.
Right? And they are going to make sure you know they're doing something that's historic, even if it is not historic. You know, even if you're getting worked, they're still going to tell you
correct.
That it's the longest running episodic show.
Sure.
Well, is it really?
It's a showcase of mortals.
Have you heard of The Simpsons before? Like, what are you talking about? What about the weeks with the dog show? You know, they're always going to tell you.
What about soap operas?
Yeah, all this type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's stuff that's just totally, you know, made up. It's from the world of wrestling. So, you know, you always got to look
sellout
at it from a certain.
Sellout crowd filing in.
What?
A sellout crowd filing in.
Yeah,
it's my favorite Vince McMahonism of all time.
It's a sellout crowd.
It's going to be a sellout.
They're filing in.
A sellout crowd filing in.
But this is. You think it's changing the world of sports or television by WWE? Because WWE was ahead of the curve. They had their own streaming network before it was a thing.
Yes.
Other sport leagues jumped on, got their own networks, and decided that's not a great idea. WWE, though, might have been the first one to say, oh, it's not a great idea, too, and bailed on that. So they were ahead of the curve a little bit on streaming and specialization of your brand.
I would say the one difference was I do think they tried to sell it as its own channel, like the SEC Network and the Big Ten Network did.
Right. And never got
it. But they never able to do it. So then they went straight to the consumer. And honestly, the reality is, you want to talk about value in the cord cutting era? If you were a wrestling fan, the value that you got from the WWE Network was incredible. You got every SmackDown.
You had the content.
Like, you had all the content, the library. It just didn't make money for them, like, in the sense of, like, we're spending way too much, so, like, let's get rid of
this. Their partnership with Peacock makes more sense, and now, of course, with Netflix, this one's more obvious than that move, right? That move they did back then was like, okay, well, we can see that happening, but this is, obviously you want to be on Netflix, but maybe not as obvious to bring your signature program that has aired, for the most part, on USA. They jumped to TNN for a minute, Spike TV, but, like, since the mid-90s, since we're talking Ice Storm 94 time, you know, that it's been on the same spot on cable television. And to say, hey, we're going to put this big show over here, that is a big deal. I don't know if it's going to, you know, because nobody else has really done that yet. But, I mean, Netflix has had deals with historic programs being rebooted and things like that. But anyway, what do you think about it? You watched it. Yeah. Did you feel like when you watched it, like, there was the biggest story come out of it is Hulk Hogan getting booed?
Yeah.
Which didn't seem like a big story to me because I felt like he's been booed before.
Yeah. And also, like, Raw was in L.A. Like, I the only thing...
But should Hogan be a heel right now? Should he be a baby? Should he be on your television at all?
Well, to me, it's like they made the decision to partner with him with the beer company.
Yeah.
So, like, he's becoming the official. So my deal is, like, if you're going to partner with him, you have to accept it. I guess what my question was is, I think a lot of the people that are running WWE now are actually smart, and they're not trying to just square peg round hole.
Right. They're going
to... I find it hard to believe they didn't. I don't know if Hogan knew he was going to get booed like that, but what was weird was...
Right, Hogan didn't feel... He didn't look like it. He didn't...
No, and he, like, you could tell, like, he went through the promo. But
everybody surrounds themselves these days, you know, in their, a little bit in their own bubble, right? Their social... You're following who you want on social media. You're blocking people. And Hogan, his most recent appearances have been at places that agree with some stuff that he does. So he's not used to it. I do feel like he feels uncomfortable. But he's made wrestling appearances, been booed and not been booed. But this was a big one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was definitely the takeaway the internet ran with
from the show. But
I guess the reason why I didn't make that big of a deal.
I don't think anybody's clamoring for Hulk Hogan. I don't think anybody wants Hulk Hogan. Like, nobody's saying, oh, I sure wish Hulk Hogan would be here, but they keep putting him on there. And, you know, like Triple H, he's narrating the stuff. He's putting himself in the focus. Nobody's saying, sure, man, I wish Triple H was there. I'm not going to watch unless Triple H is going to be on there. Like, no, but he's putting himself there, and they're doing the same thing with Hogan. They're putting these people that I guess are powerful. I know Triple H is on television. They think can work
so,
in those spots.
I'll give you their side of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I believe it. I don't. It's not one of those explanations that I heard and said, come on. So the explanation was going to Netflix, you are going worldwide.
Yeah.
And you are going to audiences that are not regular watchers, but they may have some familiarity with the Attitude Era, in which, you know, we got The Rock.
Yeah, gotta have The Rock on there, yeah.
They know who Hulk Hogan is, so you got Hogan, they had Biker Taker come out, you had Triple H, and Cena. So kind of like they had...
Cena,
like,
on his farewell tour, yeah.
So they kind of had something, and then obviously you had, like, Cody had a part, but, like, Cody wasn't giving a promo, but, like...
Roman Reigns is there, yeah.
Roman is obviously there. So, like, you kind of had the whole...
It was an all-star cast. Yeah, it was a super show, right? You had to have a big debut, so you just put Hogan in there. Sure. I just don't know Hogan's a legend, and there's no bigger star in the history of the industry than Hulk Hogan, but I don't think people tune in to watch him anymore. I think possibly more people will, as we saw by the booing, or tune out.
I guess this was the other thing I kept thinking about. Number one, L.A. is not the place I'm reintroducing the Hulkster.
Like, because really, the reintroduction, it says, I believe it's his first appearance since appearing at the Republican National Convention. And I think that is the big difference of like, so that's where this reaction is coming from. You know, he came out, introduced Donald Trump, and
oh, yeah.
shirt off. So.